ओम ज्ञानतिमरंदस्य गणांजनशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वायं रूपगदामयं ददाति स्वदन्तिकम्. First, my voice is half gone, so I'm just apologizing for sounding like a croaking toad. But the knowledge is the same, whether the voice is there all the way or not. The knowledge is what counts. Tonight we are speaking about Krishna. Krishna says, "Time I am," in the Bhagavad Gita. Kalosmi, I have time. So, how we manage our time will either make us or break us in Krishna consciousness. Time which is not managed properly is the gateway to hellish situations. And time managed properly is the gateway to eternity, knowledge, and bliss. We don't have to go to any of these mundane consultants who give all these high-powered, high-priced seminars on time management to learn about time management. That's not necessary. Actually, the original guru of time management is in our sampradaya. His name is Srila Rupa Goswami. He taught this very simple principle of time management. He says, not a single moment of your time should be wasted outside of Krishna consciousness. So time management means to understand Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshvara. You have to understand who time belongs to. Krishna says, I own everything. So every minute of our time is actually not our time, it belongs to Krishna. Every minute of time is the property of the Lord. Therefore, every minute, every second, and in the Vedas, there is a unit of time called lava. You know that lava, 1/11th of a second. Every lava is the property of Krishna. So every lava must be used in his service. To the extent that we're using time in the service of the Lord, to that extent we relish the nectar of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And to the extent that our time is being used in the service of the senses, indriya seva, to that extent we suffer temporality, ignorance, and misery. So, an intelligent person can understand that I should learn the art of how to utilize every lava in the service of God. That is an intelligent proposition. Because then we can relish that nectar for which we are always anxious. Sometimes we think the nectar is somewhere else. I see that sometimes when I give class also. When I'm giving a lecture, I'll be talking about Krishna consciousness. But some of the members of the audience, they will turn their attention somewhere else. I can see it happens. Their minds are more attracted to something else other than the topic of Krishna. So, this is a problem we all have. Even though Krishna is the most attractive thing, Krishna means all attractive. Actually, Krishna must be all attractive because everything comes from Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. So all the attractive qualities that we see in this world, whether it's power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, fame, every single attractive thing in this world is attractive because it is Krishna's energy. So if the energy is that attractive, just imagine how attractive is the powerhouse that's generating all this energy. So if we have this understanding that I'm feeling an attraction to this thing, that thing, and it's giving me some taste, you see. The reason we allow ourselves to be attracted by this and that is we're getting taste. We're looking for taste, pleasure, rasa. But the intelligent person understands that since Krishna is the reservoir of all rasa, all taste, it's all originally coming from him, that if I can learn how to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, then I will taste unlimited pleasure every minute. So Krishna conscious time management is not actually an austerity. It is, as Srila Prabhupada told us many years ago, susukam. He says it is simply recreation. In the material world, we hear phrases like, well, you have to put your nose to the grindstone to make it in this world. You have to pay your dues, these austerities. But actually, Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness means to uncover the original blissful nature. Isn't that stated in the Veda? It's anandamaya vyasa. The nature of the living entity is he's full of bliss. That's the nature of the living entity. So all we're doing is uncovering that original blissful consciousness, which is right there at this very minute, right? But it's covered, that's all. If I told you have a fortune worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard, would that get your interest? $10 trillion. Well, you have a treasure even more valuable buried in your heart right now. And the key how to get to that treasure is Krishna conscious time management. One of the biggest questions I get from my students around the world is, well, you know, I have a job, or I'm going to school, you know, family duties. How do I get Krishna consciousness going in the middle of all of this? In my office, they expect me to really focus completely on, you know, their computer system or whatever. So they keep paying me to come there. So how do I possibly stay in Krishna consciousness while I'm having to do all these other things? This is one of the most important aspects of Krishna consciousness time management. One learns how to dovetail everything with Krishna. Sometimes people have this thing, well, devotees are very wonderful spiritual people, but, you know, and with material things, we need to go to some, you know, time management consultant, Franklin Covey or something, you know, to get some time management training for the materialists, because they have a better idea of how to manage time than devotees. Because devotees are kind of, you know, ethereal, floating around. But that's not actually the case. That's not actually the case. If we see Srila Prabhupada, he was the most expert time manager. He said, Prabhupada said he was a bigger karmi than anyone else. He was working harder than the karmis. He was a better karmi, Prabhupada said, he was a better karmi than the karmis. He could go to any place and resume his schedule. No consideration of jet lag. He was so fixed in working and managing every minute for Krishna. This is one of the qualities of a devotee. Expert. A Vaishnava is expert. Because he knows how to utilize everything perfectly in Krishna's service, whether it's even mundane occupation, he's expert at that also. Whatever he's doing, he's expert in everything. Expert in everything, including the time management. So, how do we do that? How do we bring ourselves to that position where every minute is being utilized in the best possible way? Krishna consciousness. One has to be introspective. One has to be honest and realize I have a material body because I'm contaminated. I came to this material world because I wanted to try to occupy the position of God. And I've been given a chance to try that here in Brisbane. But it doesn't work in this material world. So this material body is the proof that there is some errant mentality there in the heart that has to be rectified. So the first thing we have to realize is I need to be rectified. I have some covering of my pure consciousness. There is something in there polluting it right now. Lording it over propensity, an enjoying mood, wanting to enjoy separately from the burn. One has to honestly acknowledge this reality. That's the beginning. In other words, we have to humble ourselves and admit, I'm not perfect. I have faults. As long as we're proud, thinking, well, you know, I'm very together, I'm very good, and there's nothing wrong with me, everything's fantastic with me, and we can't move forward. We have to be able to see our own faults, our own deficiencies. And then we have to take shelter of sources which will help us to rectify our faults. There are three sources that Prabhupada mentions. Guru, sadhus, and shastra. They're all three are required. We need guru, we need spiritual master who can show us the way. We need sadhus, we need the Vaishnavas, because by associating with Vaishnavas and serving the Vaishnavas, our hearts become pure and clean. And we need the clear direction of Shastra, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. These will fix us on a pathway that will bring us to 100% absorption in Krishna consciousness. We have to be introspective. The most important thing is actually our attitude. That's the most important thing. In fact, there's one saying, it is attitude and not aptitude that determines your altitude. You don't have to be a PhD, a genius, a big intellectual, or a big expert in some field. If one just has the proper attitude, then you can be situated in a very high state of consciousness, beyond the modes of nature. You don't have to be, a learned Vedic scholar or a PhD or have some big post in a corporation. You see. Material aptitude is not required. Simply, we have to have the proper attitude. So the first principle in Krishna conscious time management is to have the proper attitude. Trinadapi samichinam, tororapi sahishnam, amaninam manadena, kirtaneya sadahari. One should consider oneself to be lower than the straw in the street. One should be ready to offer all respect to others. One should be more tolerant than a tree. One should offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for oneself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So that, when one reaches that point, you have perfect time management. And everything is, you're able to chant 24 hours a day. You say, well, how's that possible? I have a job, this and that. But chanting also means engaging things in Krishna's service also. Prabhupada explained like that. He said, reading is chanting, writing is chanting, even said eating is chanting. Taking prasadam is also chanting. But he said sleeping, that is not. That's waiting. Of course, that is also necessary. We sleep what is necessary to keep the body energized for serving the Lord. And that is also transcendental. So, how to do that? The attitude must be that my mind must always be thinking thoughts which are pleasing to the Lord. Whatever is going on in the mind, it has to be pleasing. Just imagine if your mind could be posted on the internet, what's going on in your mind 24 hours a day, the whole world could, you know, log in and see what you're thinking. Would we be embarrassed, or could we, you know, show our face publicly if every thought we had in our brain could be posted 24 hours a day for the whole world to see? We might be pretty embarrassed. So we have to, our mind has to be trained how to always be properly engaged. Actually, if the mind is properly engaged in Krishna consciousness 24 hours, everything else follows automatically. Your words, if you're thinking pure thoughts, your words will be pure and your activities will be pure. Everything will be pure. So, how do we do that? The easiest way to do that, we have learned in India one technique. This is an example. In India, not especially in the villages, not so many people have cars. They ride bicycle. But some of them, they live far away from their place of employment. Maybe 30 kilometers, that's a lot of pedaling. Twice a day, 30 kilometers. So what do they do? No problem, you just grab a hold of one truck or a bus. No problem. Of course, here in the Western countries, that would be illegal. Immediately you get a ticket. You cannot do that, it's dangerous. But in India, no problem. So that's the actual key. This is why Guru and Vaishnavas are so important, because you simply have to find those people who have absorbed their minds nicely in Krishna consciousness and associate with them in a nice way. They serve them, hear from them. That's why we have a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's so many societies here, the Lions Club, the Kiwanis Club. This is a club for people who want to cultivate Krishna consciousness. So we've come together for this purpose. The real meaning of ISKCON is not the buildings, it's not the vehicles, it's the people. We've come together into this, in this Sangha, this association, because we want to become Krishna conscious. So we want to share Krishna consciousness with each other. And we want to take advantage of this sharing of Krishna consciousness to increase our own Krishna consciousness more and more and more. So that's the easy way to keep the mind fixed. You simply find those persons whose minds are very fixed in Krishna consciousness, and you associate with them lovingly. That's how Prabhupada started this movement. By the power of his association. In the beginning, no one really knew what, no one had any idea about the philosophy. I mean, you can look at some of those early videos of the boys in 26 Second Avenue. One boy said, yeah, we're all gopis. Another boy said, no, that's not right. We're not all gopis. That's not the right, that's not our philosophy. So they, you know, there was, in the beginning, they had very little idea even to properly understand the philosophy, but they knew that this person, Swamiji, was very wonderful, and they liked to be with Swamiji and chant. They would listen to him and try to figure out what he was talking about. In the very beginning, it was like that. You just think about it. What Prabhupada did was absolutely revolutionary. You can go downtown Brisbane with a, you know, take a little survey, get a clipboard, you know, and a pencil. You stop the people. Do you believe in God? And survey. Most people say yes. And then you ask them, if I told you that God is a little blue cowherd, he wears a peacock feather in his hair, and he plays the flute in the moonlit night of the Sharad season, standing in the bushes on the bank of the river Jamuna, what would you say? He said, I'm calling the police. There's a nut on the street who escaped from a mental institution. So how did Prabhupada convince us that God is a little blue cowherd boy? He wears a yellow dhoti, peacock feather in his hair, and blows the fifth note on his flute in the bushes on the bank of the Jamuna in the full moon night of the Sharad season. How did Prabhupada convince us? Because Prabhupada himself was so convinced, he was absolutely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that Krishna is God. And he was an ocean of mercy to share himself and his realizations with us. Full time, not that, all right. You know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we'll have Bhagavad Gita class, and Tuesday and Thursday I'll go uptown and catch some off-Broadway theater. No. Prabhupada had no interest except to be Krishna conscious at every minute. And just by being in his presence, just by the power of his association, these young boys and girls learn this art of how to be 24 hours a day engaged in Krishna consciousness. So the society is going on for this purpose, that every member, it's all coming from Prabhupada's potency, actually. Here is a great realized saint who is 24 hours purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So by associating with him and associating with his followers who are strictly following his teachings, who actually represent his potency is acting through them. And his potency will also act through you as well, if you follow these teachings of how to engage everything in Krishna consciousness. And you say, well, that's fine if you're a full-time preacher, or you're a full-time pujari living in the ashram. That's a piece of cake, but you know me, I have all these duties, material duties. You know what example Prabhupada gives? He gives an example. In South India, there are these dancers who are very, very expert dancers. Of course, there's many expert dancers in India. Especially, we've seen the Manipuri dancers. They're very amazing. But these South Indian dancers, they have one thing they do, which is very unique, and that they keep a clay water pot balanced on their head the whole time. You've seen? Yeah. So they never spill a drop of water, do they? They do all these amazing steps, and the clay pot always stays balanced on their head. It's an amazing thing. So how do they learn to do that? By practice. So your material duties, whether it's being a big businessman or a professional, or employee, student, whatever material duties you may have, that's your dancing. And that water pot on the head, that is your Krishna consciousness. So one has to learn the art of how to keep Krishna consciousness going at every minute. Even while you're, this is time management, proper time. How to keep your Krishna consciousness going through the whole day, through the whole week. Good example is mobile phone. If your mobile phone is not properly charged, what happens during the middle of the day? Finished. Nothing left. You can't get any calls, you can't make any calls. It's dead. It's a dead phone. There's nothing you can do. You forgot to charge your phone last night. Now you're paying the price. Now incommunicado. You're cut off from your telephone because the battery wasn't charged last night. Well, Zeh says we charge that mobile phone every day religiously to make sure it'll make it through the day. We have to charge another mobile phone, and that is our Krishna consciousness, every morning. You have to sufficiently charge your Krishna consciousness in the morning, and then it will, you'll be able to keep it throughout the day. That's why we rise early in the morning, whether we're here at the temple or you're living away in our own residence. That's why a devotee rises early in the morning. He chants on the japa mala, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If he has time, he can offer a little arti, sing the Gurvastakam prayers, offer an arti to Tulsi Devi, read Bhagavatam, or if you're on a tight schedule, you hear the Bhagavatam while you're going to work on the CD, hear Prabhupada speak the Bhagavatam. In this way, you need to have a very good battery charging session every morning. Don't just get up, take a shower, you know, throw some food down your mouth and run to the train. Don't do that, because you're up late watching television the night before. What is the old saying? Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So go to bed as early as possible. That's the key. Because the evening hours are rajasic and tamasic. As you get later in the evening, it becomes more and more tamasic, actually. After the sun goes down, it starts to go into tamaguna. It's not a good time of the day for spiritual consciousness. But the early morning hours, beginning an hour and a half before sunrise, Brahma Muhurta hour. Any spiritual practices, just like you go to Vrindavan, India, whatever you do is multiplied 1,000 times. In the Brahma Muhurta, it's also like that. It magnifies whatever is done during that time of the day. So if you can rise before the sun comes up, take your bath, put some tilak on your body, chant, sit in front of a picture of Krishna and chant Hare Krishna mantra, you will get an incredible upliftment of your consciousness. You will taste sweet, sweet nectar of Krishna Bhakti. And that will inspire you how to remain fixed a whole day in Krishna consciousness. It's not actually difficult. I remember the first time that I met Sri Prabhupada physically. Of course, I had met him before that in his Vani form. There are two forms of guru. There are Vani and Bhakti. Vani means his instructions, his teaching. And Vapu is his physical form. So many people say, oh, Sankarshanta Guru, you know, tell us about how you first met Prabhupada. My first meeting with Prabhupada was not actually his Vapu. I had an opportunity to meet him face to face in his physical form, and I refused to go because I was a Mayavadi. I thought I was Krishna. So, I did finally go when I came to the realization that I'm not Krishna. I couldn't, things didn't, if I was Krishna, then everything should go the way I wanted it to go, but it wasn't. Finally realized I have to surrender myself to God. And then, just by hearing about Prabhupada from his disciples, I realized this person, and seeing the impact he had had on their lives, I realized this person should be my spiritual master. And then I had the opportunity, after I accepted him as my spiritual master, without ever having seen him, just by hearing about him, hearing his teachings, hearing his recorded voice, then I accepted him as my guru. And then I got to meet him. And the first time, I was there in his physical presence. He was giving a very nice lecture. He was saying, every one of you have seen God. Because Krishna says, Prabhashmi Shushashurya, I am the light of the sun and the moon. And he said, how many times you're drinking water every day? Once, twice, thrice, more than that. He was quoting Rasoham Mupsakundaya. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job, it simply requires practice. So your time management in Krishna consciousness means you have to see every opportunity for remembering Krishna. When you drink water, you see, you can think, oh, very nice taste. That is Krishna. When you see the sun, the beautiful sunset over the river, ah, there is Krishna. Or Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. When you, it's your office and you see your boss, how expert he is at managing the workers. Ah, that is Krishna, that ability in man. See, a Krishna conscious person can see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Whether he's at the temple, whether he's at his office. There's no such thing as a part-time devotee. We sometimes hear that word, part-time devotee. If you're a devotee, you're a devotee. We're 24 hours a day, wherever you are. If you're not a devotee, you're not a devotee. That's part-time devotee, no, it doesn't make any sense. If you're a devotee, you're always a devotee, whether you're at the temple, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever you may be. So simply focus your mind that I must always connect everything with Krishna 24 hours a day. I must purify my consciousness to become the pure devotee of Krishna. That's the purpose of my human form of life. So in this way, if you're focusing every moment on Krishna, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, all times, all places, and all circumstances, you want to see that every thought, every word, and every deed is pleasing to Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. And Krishna will be unlimitedly bestowing mercy upon you if you do that. So that, in a nutshell, is time management, Krishna conscious time management. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Not even for a lover. Not even for 1/11th of a second should you forget Krishna. So, are there any questions? Yes, question.
When we start speaking about things which we might not be present at,
somebody up front, listen very carefully, because one of you ought to tell me what he's asking. I can't hear him.
So if somebody is suddenly thinking about how they are imperfect, or thinking about faults they have or have had, and
if someone's just always looking at their own faults?
Not always, but if suddenly they are looking at these things, how can we advance from
that?
How can we let go of these things?
Well, see, instead of course, a Vaishnava does see his own fault. That's an important thing. But you don't dwell on your own fault, because you're just still meditating on yourself. You think about you see the good qualities of Krishna, the good qualities of Prabhupada, the good qualities of the devotees. Then naturally, your bad qualities will go away. Whatever qualities you meditate on, that's what you acquire. You see the good qualities in the devotees. You worship their good qualities. Then those good qualities will come to you. So we should know our own faults, but it's not that we should just meditate on our faults. Because then we don't go anywhere. We're just crying over our own faults. That's not... You need a positive program of seeing the good qualities in the Vaishnavas, and then that will naturally bring you those good qualities will flood your consciousness gradually the more you meditate on them.
Okay,
questions more? Yes.
What's the difference between Krishna and
Vishnu? Krishna and Vishnu? Actually, there's no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. Same person. Same exact person. When the Supreme Lord is at home, that's Krishna. When he's at the office, that's Vishnu. The word Vishnu means, it's like, you know, Gabadakashai Vishnu, Shiradakashai Vishnu. They're engaged in universal management affairs. So the original form of God, we are called Vaishnavas, which means devotees of Vishnu. So Krishna, the Krishna, Shyam Sundar, he is the original Vishnu form. They're all Vishnu Tattva. Krishna is Vishnu Tattva category. So he is Vishnu. Vishnu means the Supreme Personality of God. And there are millions and billions of Vishnus. And they all emanate from the original Vishnu form, which is Krishna. So sometimes we say Vishnu referring to the four-armed form. But that doesn't always... That's true in one sense, but actually... In a technical sense, Vishnu refers to the category of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as opposed to the Jiva Tattva category. There's the Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. So Krishna is Vishnu, the original form of Vishnu. And then from that original form comes another form of Vishnu, Balaram. And then Sankarshan, Prajumna, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, in this way, all the Vishnus come. And that original Vishnu form of Krishna. Aham sarvasya pavavam taksavam vivadate. Krishna says, I am the source of all, of everything. Everything emanates from me. Questions more?
Yes.
Thank you very much for giving a very nice class. I would like to ask one question. You have traveled everywhere. Here, the situation for most of the people is materially very comfortable, right? I mean, that doesn't give us any impetus to become Krishna conscious. We're all happy in our comfort zone.
Yeah.
So, is there any difference between, you know, like people living in less privileged places, people here, or the same thing? Mm. Or, you know, how do we get some impetus to become Krishna conscious?
People who live in less privileged places are actually more privileged spiritually. People who are in more privileged places materially are less privileged spiritually. That's my experience traveling in many parts of the world. Where there is duress, see, there is a spiritual advantage. Vipada shantuta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru. This is why Kunti Devi is begging for material distress, because it's favorable for Krishna consciousness. So what do you do if you're here in Brisbane, where, you know, there's frangipani is growing, there's a nice climate, there's money? Then you have to act on your intelligence. Prabhupada came to the most opulent place, America, and convinced somehow Krishna arranged all those young boys and girls in the 60s in America. They said, we don't want this American opulence. They shunned the wealth of their fathers and mothers. We want some new lifestyle that has more meaning and value. So we have to have that, we have to understand this is temporary. A very temporary situation. If we do not use, if this opulence is not utilized in the service of the Lord, then it will be taken away. You know the story. Punar Musaka Bhava. You know that story?
Yes.
There was one mouse in the village, and he was being harassed by the cat. And he was so much in anxiety, the cat will eat me. Oh, so scared. So finally he went to the one powerful yogi on the edge of the village. He said, please help me. I'm in great anxiety, this cat is always trying to kill me and eat me, what to do? I said, no problem, I will make you a cat. Now, I'm a cat. Now that cat won't bother me at all. But then one dog was bothering him. So again he went to the yogi. Oh, now this dog is bothering me, what to do? No problem, I'll make you a dog. Now, no problem, I'm a dog. Cats are afraid of me, mice, no problem. But then when tiger came, so running back to the yogi. Oh, tiger. No problem, I'll make you a tiger. So you know, tiger, whenever he goes to take his meal, what does his meal do? His meal runs away. In fact, there's even a bird, I forget the name of the bird. In the forest, when the tiger goes hunting for this meal, this little bird makes an alarm. Makes a chirp, and everyone knows the tiger is out for his meal. It's his lunchtime, so everybody goes running. So for tiger, it is very difficult to get a meal, actually. So now the tiger is sitting in the hut, and there's a very nice-looking yogi sitting in front of him. And he gets this look on his face, like, I want to eat you. And the yogi, he immediately can read his mind. He says, oh, you want to eat me? Tiger says, yeah. He said, Punar Musika Bhava, again you become a mouse. So now, you see, in this Western countries, Australia, the US, you see, there's so much opulence and power. We become tigers. But if we do not utilize this wealth and this power and this prestige in the service of the Lord, Punar Musika Bhava, again you become a mouse. So if you like having this opulence, if you like having this wealth and this prestige and this influence, then you must utilize this in the service of the Lord. Otherwise it will be taken away by the laws of nature, today or tomorrow. You see. This you must understand. Every one of you must understand this. Don't be greedy now that you've been so blessed with material opulence. Utilize it as far as possible in the Lord's service. And Krishna will give you more opulence, more prestige, more influence, unlimitedly. That's a thing. So I'm being told, what's the time limit now? 7 o'clock? We've run out of time. Okay. Anybody who likes to speak with me personally, I will be floating around here. Anybody has had a question you were afraid to ask publicly, you feel free to. I'm just here tomorrow morning. I'm leaving. Just here once this year. So if anybody wants to meet with me, I'll be very happy. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sarva Vaishnavas ki jai.